Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Brenton is here as well. We will hand things off to Josh Vernier coming up in about 20 minutes. Keep it locked in right here for Royals pregame. All right, let's start with the Royals today. I think they are the top story on this Wednesday. You guys know that we love a good cross-sport comparison on this show. There's nothing we love more than a cross-sport comparison on this show. This is what today's Royals game feels like. You've been to a basketball game before, and it's been a tightly contested game. It's now a four-point game, and everybody is standing up and clapping and cheering because you know how important this next possession is. This possession could potentially dictate who wins or loses this game. You have been to a football game, and it has been a really, really big third down. You know that. So you're getting up, and you're screaming, and you're beating on the seat, and you are doing everything you can to try to help your team win. That's what today's Royals game feels like to me if you are taking a closer look at the standings. So if you look at the standings in the wild card, here are where the Royals currently sit. The Royals are 2.5 games back of Baltimore. They are 1.5 games up on Minnesota. They are 3 games up on the Tigers. Why I use that analogy? Well, if the Royals win today, they are up 4 games with 9 games remaining. The Royals would have to get ice cold in the final 9 games of the season while the Tigers get super red hot. There's just not a lot of baseball games left in this season. There are exactly 10 games left in this year. You don't overcome a 4-game deficit in a week and a half. That is not how baseball works. The Royals can clinch their postseason berth today in a lot of ways. If that's your magic number, 4 with 9 to go, the race is all but over. So that's behind door number 1. If we were playing Let's Make a Deal, door number 1, Royals win today and effectively lock themselves into a playoff berth. Let's go through the other one. Let's say the Royals lose today. The Royals are then 2 games up over the Detroit Tigers with 9 games to go, and these are the games remaining for the Detroit Tigers. They have 3 games against the Baltimore Orioles. Really important because the Orioles have a wild card spot. The Tigers are trying to get one of them. They have a 3-game set against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, not that good. And then the final series of the year, the Detroit Tigers, they get their final 3 games against the Chicago White Sox, and that is possibly the worst baseball team that we have ever seen. The reason I use that third down analogy, you understand that if your team converts this third down, maybe the clock doesn't say zeros, but you have won the game here. If your team can hit a big shot and now go up 6 with a minute 10 left, you feel like you won the basketball game there if you just hit your free throws down the stretch. That's where we are in the Royals baseball season. We are past the point of, oh, yo, there's tomorrow, or you guys are overreacting to one game. Not when you got 10 left. Their season is done next Sunday. They got two more weekends of baseball left. Every game matters. Every decision matters. This is their first postseason game. It doesn't say postseason, but this is the postseason. The same way in college football that you know in November, hey, we got a playoff spot, but we have to keep winning these games to ensure that we make the college football playoff. That's where the Royals are right now in their season. If the playoffs started today, they would be there. If you lose this game, the Tigers, they have a realistic shot. Kill their hopes. Kill their dreams. Don't give them a realistic shot or thought process that they can get themselves back into it. You don't want to be in a position, if you're the Kansas City Royals, that you need the Chicago White Sox help for anything. They're terrible. So do what you're supposed to do and go win today. And if you win today, you are 99.9% in the postseason. If you lose today, a lot of people will start to hit the panic button. You can overcome two games in a week and a half very easily. Royals lose this weekend at home against the Giants. You sweep the series against the Orioles. You are going to the postseason, and the Royals are out of the postseason. That is not a possibility if you win this game. So I don't want to Chicken Little this thing, but it is important to note the math of this. And the math is telling you that there is not a greater swing of a regular season game that you could potentially have than the one that the Royals have today at Kauffman Stadium. You got to win this game. Not just the team on the field needs this. The fan base needs this game more than anything. So that is hit number one. We didn't hit the music, but that is hit number one, is the importance of this game. All right, Rob, we will get to a little baseball. We'll get to a little football. Maybe some other things in the hits today. Take it away, Rob.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hit number one has nothing to do with baseball, has nothing to do with football. It has everything to do with an American institution was saved today. Red Lobster was on the ropes. It looked like Red Lobster was potentially going to be knocked out and defeated. Red Lobster filed for bankruptcy. They were closing locations. We were going to lose America's favorite seafood restaurant. But you know what they announced today? They announced that they have come out on the other side, and now Red Lobster is stronger, more resilient, and they are ready for a bright chapter. And they are encouraging you to stop in any of their 545 worldwide locations. I want you guys to really take this seriously. When you think about what America has given society, like what have we come up with? We didn't come up with the hamburger. The pizza's not ours. We took that from somebody else. You know the best thing that this country has given the rest of the world? Red Lobster. It's number one on the list. That's our cuisine. You know how when you go overseas, if you've been internationally, you want to eat what the locals eat? When people come from other countries and they want to see the best food that we have, you should take them to Red Lobster. That's the pinnacle of fine dining in this country. You guys want to make America great again? Make Red Lobster great again, because that's the key to a strong economy. That's hit number one. Might be hit number two.
Number two.
After Carrington's diatribe about Red Lobster, I want to tell you guys that the hits are presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Pivoting away from mediocre seafood, talking about a mediocre position, running back in the National Football League. Carrington, there's a lot of anger, a lot of animosity, a lot of fear, a lot of worry across the kingdom that without Isaiah Pacheco, are they going to be okay? But you are one that believes, do not worry, the fall off will not be a problem from Pacheco to Steele, because Andy Reid is here to save the day.
You know what? If you can fade the music down just a little bit, let's have this conversation. I got to call you out here. This show's about accountability, and I don't think that you have been very fair. Now, text line, I want you guys to tell me if I'm wrong, because trust me, you guys hold me accountable every day. 913-586-7965. If the Chiefs had traded a draft pick for a running back, Rob would hate it and say that it's a waste of a resource. If the Chiefs spent money on a running back, Rob would also hate that and say that you could just find somebody off a scrap heap. Now that the Chiefs actually have those players, Rob says it's not enough. Well, which one is it? They got Samaje Perine off the scrap heap. Kareem Hunt was playing Madden on Sunday watching Red Zone, and now he's going to be in the National Football League. Carson Steele did not hear his name called during the NFL draft. Brett Veach has built the exact running back room that you tell us you love. They got a seventh-round running back in Isaiah Pacheco. They brought Clyde Edwards-Helaire back on a ham sandwich contract. This is your running back room. I don't want to hear the, nah, they don't got enough. No, I want you to embrace this running back room. I want you to embrace it, because we've seen Andy do this before. We saw him do it with Spencer Ware. We saw him do it with Charcandrick West. We saw him do it with Damian Williams. Why are you so hesitant to say that they can do the exact same thing for Carson Steele? No one is saying that Carson Steele is going to be a Pro Bowl caliber back or run for 1,000 yards. Can he run for 55 yards on Sunday? Sure. You get 55 yards from him. Mahomes scrambles a little bit. They do an end around to somebody else. You throw it to Samaje Perine. You can manufacture the running back production for this team. I think you're being a little hypocritical and a little bit unfair, and I don't know if the Chiefs running back situation can make you happy, because every suggestion you hate right now.
Can I say this? A lot of my thoughts on how Brett Veach builds the running back room are based on the notion they have the best quarterback in the league, which they still do, and some of the best weapons in the NFL. Right now, let's look around at the other weapons in the room. Marquise Brown is probably out for the season.
Yes, I agree.
Like, not playing at all. Xavier Worthy is a rookie. And, boy, it's been, I don't say feast or famine, but it's like Katy Perry used to say, it's hot, then it's cold. It was not as good in game two. There's also the Justin Watson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Sky Moore collective, which let's not waste time making fun of it, because it exists. It's nothing. Rashee Rice is good, and Travis Kelce is historically good, but has not come out the gate that way. So it feels there's a similarity. There's a sensation I've experienced before. It was called last year when the weaponry was down and Patrick Mahomes' greatness couldn't buoy it up. And you, to your absolute credit, said, Rob, don't worry about the weaponry. In the playoffs, they're going to use three people. Pacheco, Kelce, Rice.
They did.
They did that. They hoisted Lombardi.
Yeah.
It seems like, based on their roster, they might try to do the same thing early going this season. Kelce is down, Rice is great, and Pacheco is out. If that's the path to wins, one and a half of your three-headed monster ain't there? That has me a little concerned because someone has to become part of that three-headed monster.
I hear what you're saying, that someone has to do it. Now, I would still argue that their wide receiver room is better than what it was last year. I still think that it's better. I'm not saying that their wide receiver room is great. I think it is still improved from where it was last year. I just, you know, I'm big on this team needs to remain balanced. They have spent enough on the offensive line. They have paid their left guard. They have paid their center. They have paid their right tackle. And we think their right guard at the end of the season is going to get $15 or $20 million from somebody. You have the best quarterback that we have maybe ever seen and the best play caller that maybe the NFL has ever seen. If you can't figure out a way for a position that you guys tell me is interchangeable and anybody can do it and you can just pick a guy off the street, that's what the Chiefs have right now at running back. They don't have this. They don't have Christian McCaffrey on their team. They didn't go get Saquon Barkley or J.K. Dobbins. You guys would have said, don't go get those guys. Hey, we got enough in the room. Now it's time to see if they got enough in the room. It's time to see it now. I am optimistic that they haven't really given Carson Steele an opportunity to have success in the regular season. Let's see what he does with 12 carries this week. Let's see what he does with 14 carries this week. Let's see what he does. You can run the ball against Atlanta. We just saw a team run the ball against Atlanta on Monday. Now, they had Saquon Barkley, but you understand what I'm saying. This is not a team that you think that they should hold you to 45 yards rushing. You can run the ball against that team. All they need to do is have balance and some level of production in the run game. I think they're going to be able to do it.
Perfect segue, because earlier today on his podcast, Travis Kelce was asked about his sluggish, slow, I don't know what verbiage you want to use, start to the NFL season.
I'm not about to sit here and get frustrated about it. I used to get really, really pissed off and almost lose my cool a lot of the time from not having that success, knowing I demand that out of myself. And I demand, you know, that I just like to play the game to such a high level of accountability that it's tough for me to deal with being mediocre or having stats that represent that. So I stopped caring about stats about 4 or 5 years ago, and I just went out there and started to just play free and wanted to play for my guys. And sure enough, I think that's a better mentality. You think about it more play by play and what your job is on that specific play. And I think moving forward, it's just, you know, how can I be better in those moments? You know, what's the issue? Am I not getting out of my route fast enough? Am I not, you know, whatever the situation may be, it's all play specific anyways, but, you know, you're always looking at the film, looking at the scheme and trying to, you know, perfect it more and more each week. And, you know, typically you see these kind of games earlier on, and then you keep trying to get better and better and more accountable for the guys around you, man.
Now, Carrington, I understand maybe this show can't be the one to ask this question, but here we stand anyway. Is it fair to have a level of concern, a level of, hey, alarm? I don't know the term, that Travis Kelce has come out of the gate a little bit not himself to start the 2024 season.
I mean, he's certainly not himself. I mean, Justin Watson has more receiving yards than he has. I mean, through the first two games of the season, Travis Kelce only has two more receiving yards than Noah Gray does. So I think it is certainly a talking point. You are right. We did this last year. I actually don't think I was wrong last year on Travis Kelce. That's neither here nor there. But over the last 10 games, Travis Kelce has 44 catches for 440 yards and one touchdown. Some of what you are talking about with the offense, a lot of that could be fixed by having not the old Travis Kelce. You're not going to have the guy that had 70 catches for 1,200 yards. I think most Chiefs fans would agree that player doesn't exist anymore. If Travis Kelce has 6 catches for 75 yards and a touchdown, they win on Sunday. They go on the road and win. If he plays really well, Rashee Rice plays really well, that takes pressure off the run game. They can run the football effectively. We know Mahomes is going to get the ball, and they're going to be fine offensively. It's early on in the season. It's the first 2 weeks, so I'm not ready to say anything definitive about Travis Kelce. But it is something to note. 10 games is a decent sample size in the National Football League. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. If you are someone that gambles on these games, this is the perfect time to buy low on Travis Kelce. There was a time where you should probably have stayed away from Travis Kelce just because the Taylor Swift hype put his numbers through the roof and there wasn't a whole lot of money to be made. Right now on Vegas, they have his over-under on catches at 4.5. They have his yards at 47.5. If you are someone that signs up to Vegas knows, Vegas is telling you kind of what the stats are saying. Over the last handful of games, he has been a 4-catch-for-40-yard guy. Now, I don't think he is a 1-catch-for-6-yard. I mean, he had fewer fantasy yards than Wanya Morris did this past week. Wanya Morris should never have more fantasy points than what Travis Kelce had. But can they get a really productive? Right now, Travis Kelce is not playing like a number 2 wide receiver. I think they have a number 1 wide receiver. I think the number 1 wide receiver on this team has turned into Rashee Rice. Can Travis Kelce be a number 2 wide receiver? Let's see. And if they have that, they are going to be able to manage over the next couple of weeks with the offense.
Now, listen, I don't want to be like, oh, he's washed. And like, I don't feel that way.
And really quick, I keep seeing people say this. C-Dot, he has the same yards that he had through 2 weeks last season. That's number one, it's intellectually dishonest because we know he didn't play the first game. And we knew in the first 2 weeks that he was coming off an injury. We have no reason to believe that Travis Kelce is not fully healthy right now. So to use that, oh, he has the same number of yards as last year. Well, last year was the worst season that he's had in the last 8 years. Like, so that's the barometer, is he's the same as he was last year with more games and more snaps. That point just doesn't make any sense to me. I can't believe that people are touting that number that he has the same stats through the first 2 weeks. The entire circumstance is different.
I also would say it's not the exact same. He had more targets in the first 2 weeks. So in one game last season, the Jags game, if we're going to do this nonsensical, you know, argument, text line, not you. If we're going to do this, in one game last year against the Jags, through 2 weeks played one game, he had 9 targets. That's important. Yeah. In 2 games this season, while playing in both, he's had 6 targets. So it's more than just his catches, his yards, his touchdowns. It's more than that. They are not efforting to get him the ball as much, or he's not open as much this year as he was in 2 weeks, but one game last year. Just, you're right. I cannot believe that's a text line conversation that we're having. Look, it's the same. It's not the same.
Yeah, I mean, the text line, I get it right now. C-Dot, you're making up a storyline that isn't there. I'm just simply here to give you the stats. In the last 10 regular season games, he has 4 catches for 40 yards, and Vegas projects him for 4 yards and 40. If you're telling me that you still think that old Travis Kelce is there, great. Or if your stance is, and I don't think it's a bad stance, we are not concerned with regular season numbers anymore. Our goal is to keep him as healthy as possible and ramp him up for the postseason. Great. That makes a lot of sense to me. I would say then you think he's turned into Rob Gronkowski, which Gronk was really productive at the end. I know Gronk kind of got a bad, oh, he was broken down at the end. Gronk's last 2 years in Tampa Bay, he was actually a pretty productive player and really good in the postseason too. If that's the conversation where we are with Travis Kelce, that's where I am. I think Travis Kelce is a 850 to 925 yard tight end that you are hopeful is healthy at the postseason because his experience, knowledge, anything can happen in the postseason. That's just where I am. That's not how we've kind of talked about him. You remember, for the longest time, the argument was, hey, the Chiefs don't need a number one wide receiver because they have Travis Kelce. He has not been a number one wide receiver just based on the numbers.
I would also say, Miz, for me and you are going to differ. We have a lot of time to talk about this over the course of the football season. I'd be okay with him being Tampa Bay Gronk, but they better have other Tampa Bay weapons. Because Tampa Bay Gronk won the Super Bowl and was productive that year in Tampa Bay. You know what else they had? Productive Chris Godwin, Hall of Famer Mike Evans, and Antonio Brown at the end of the season. they were weapon rich. The ensuing year, they still had Mike Evans, who's a Hall of Famer. They still had Chris Godwin, and Gronk's production was not Patriot Gronk, but it was still productive. If the Chiefs are relying on Travis Kelce being 2014 Travis Kelce and they're getting Tampa Bay Gronk, that's fine, but someone needs to turn into a Mike Evans, because him being Tampa Bay Gronk might not be enough. If that's, I mean, that's just where we differ.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of the he's turned into a decoy, and maybe that's the case. I would then ask, like, who has he been a decoy for? Like, I see Rashee Rice just going to get his yards. Like, I see a receiver who has taken a step forward over the course of the offseason, and Rashee Rice looks to me like a guy that's going to have 1,100 yards receiving this year. I think he's turned into one of the premier young wide receivers in the National Football League. I don't think that the old Travis Kelce is completely dead. I just think the old Travis Kelce is different. And I just don't know if he is the dominant force that he was. Can he still be a productive player? Can he still find his spots and be productive? Yeah, he's much better than what he's been the first two games. He has less than 40 yards. This was the worst two-game stretch in Travis Kelce's career so far. I don't think he's that. What does new Travis Kelce look like, I think, is a fair question that we should be asking. All right, we are off today. The Royals are off tomorrow. Hopefully, when we get back, we are talking about a Royals win. Go Royals tonight. Hope you guys have a great evening. We'll be back again tomorrow. It's The Drive.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.